Okay, is that in there?
No, it's not in there.
Go to Ed.
The time right now, it's 15 minutes until the hour of 8. I'm Ed Jordan. Here's the latest news. Jordan, and now to prove WABC-FM's dedication to hiring the handicapped, here is Mike Piscuna.
Dan Ingram, Electric Radio Theater.
Isn't that sweet?
That's
delightful, yes.
Do we have the other thing?
What other thing?
The big band thing?
You got my closing
that's
thing?
That's on a tape, yeah. Uh-huh. Is that Louis Belson on drums?
Yeah, no, it isn't. It's Billy May's band from an album called Wild Stereo Drums, which was on Capitol. I think it's out of print now.
Oh, they had a busty girl on the cover?
No, as a matter of fact, they had three drummers on the cover. Because they had three drummers on the tape. Alvin Stoller and a couple other New York-type cats who happened to emigrate to the coast. And that's an edited version of it. It runs about 6 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I see the coffee's arrived.
Oh, great.
You're a hell of a host. I wanted to say hell because you can say that on FM.
Sure.
You can't say it on AM.
Sure, you can.
Maybe
on this AM station you can.
On this, that's right. I said it yesterday, as a matter of fact, opening my show.
Hell?
I said hell. I said damn also.
We can say damn, yeah.
There's
a couple other things we can say within context. We'll try and work out some context.
There was a good Yiddish expression that I've heard several times. I even heard it on the Dick Cavett show the other night.
What, schmuck?
Yeah, that's the one. Yes,
is that the one?
See, I have these inhibitions. That was the door. And coffee arrived. This is groovy. Is this black, I hope?
Yeah.
Ah, Grant, it's ABC coffee. You know, coffee with lumps in it.
Yeah. So let's say.
The bugs.
You used to do an FM show. What kind of show did you do?
It was a bad show. Actually, it was a blues show. We played blues for about an hour on Saturday nights, which we taped on Tuesday morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If I'd like a show, I'd put it away in the back room somewhere and then repeat it about 6 months later because I'm basically lazy.
Yeah. How'd you get into radio? I mean, just like there's a lot of us who were sort of falling into FM by accident. That's what happened to me. But how did you first work into radio to get into ABC AM?
It was a combination of misfortune, famine and pestilence, and I needed a job.
Did you start out with the Top 40 format?
No, as a matter of fact, I started radio when I was 13. There was a disc jockey contest on radio station WOV, which is now WADO. Freddie Robbins was on the air there at the time. You remember Freddie Robbins,
yeah.
Wee Wow, and all those real heavy expressions.
Robbins, yes. Yeah.
Right. And I went in, and I was one of the six finalists in this contest. We got to be on the air for 15 minutes, and do our own little show. And out of the six finalists, I came in sixth. I lost. And the guy who won it, who was a carpenter in New Jersey, about every 6 months or so, sends me a letter which starts out with several obscenities, and it's kind of nice. It's old home week. So I started as a failure. Then I laid off while I was in high school.
Did you have to go to a lot of way out, out of the way radio stations before you made it back here?
Let me see. First station I actually really worked for was WNRC in New Rochelle, which is now WVOX, and I stayed there for 4 weeks. Got a paycheck that bounced. Because that was where they were at. They were into paying with bad paper at the time. Had an altercation with the general manager about the fact that I needed my bread, as I remember it, the AP wire got busted in the process, and studio window, and so I was resigned from that job. Then I took tolls on Southern State Parkway for a while, following which time I went to WALK in Patchogue, Long Island.
Oh, so you stayed around here. You didn't have to go through the whole Midwest.
Listen, I've done the whole deed. I've been doing this for, it's got to be about 15 years now. From WALK, where it was a nice station because everybody in the station had died in 1938, but nobody told them, I did an afternoon show called The Famous Four at Four. I'd play four records, one by T.D., B.G., Glenn, and the Duke.
Hmm.
And it was worth waiting for the Duke to get through the other garbage, so I didn't mind it that much. I left there and went to Channel 8 in New Haven. Tried out New Haven for a while. Did a morning show, which is why this is like old home week, because I used to get out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning regularly instead of going to bed at 5 in the morning. And
on Channel 8, what did you do?
I did a morning radio show, and I went over, and in those days they had no videotape, so everything was live.
Yeah.
And I used to do commercials in the movie, and I played Santa Claus for a while. That was great fun playing Santa Claus. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I walked in the show one night, and I was about a half hour early, and it was almost Christmas Eve, and a couple of the guys, the cameraman and stage manager, whatever the heck he was, floor manager, said, come on in the back, we'll have a little taste, you know. It's groovy, man. They brought out this bottle of specious stuff, whatever the heck it was, some secret brand of booze. They were in the back having a good time, you know, shooting the stuff about this and that, you know, what the weather girl was doing and with who, you know. And got to be just a groovy little session, you know, we're rapping, having fun. Suddenly, Christmas Carol, who was the girl who did the commercials, comes storming into the studio and says, they've been playing the theme for 5 minutes and the kids are crying. You know, it's on the air and it's live. So Sozzle Santa staggered into the studio, mumbling something about the fact that my reindeer got stoned over New Jersey or something like that. And, you know, it took me a while to get there. Snowstorm or something. And the first kid comes up in my pillowed lap. And I said, what do you want for Christmas? And she looks up and she doesn't even say a word. She just pulls on the beard. You know, like she wants to know, is it real or are you a real, you know, real establishment freak? And luckily, I put on a couple extra layers of spirit gum, so it didn't pull off. But it harmed my face considerable. Maintaining my equanimity, I asked her again, what do you want for Christmas, you little... And she looks right at my face and she says, a new mommy.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, like, just about what I said. And you got to keep going, ho, 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 you know. Well, there's a big, huge window in the studio where all the mommies watched. You know, they could watch the show and their little beloved being interviewed on the
tube. Did they pick her up off the floor?
Well, there was a scream of something or other, you know, some kind of thing. So I, being very cool, I said, oh, that's fine. Now, what else would you like? She says,
she's
a new daddy. She went also. So I finally said, now that's not very nice. Sir. Wouldn't you like something, you know, nice, something you can play with? She said, a gun. I said, what for? She says, to kill my sister. That was delightful. You know, for this time, Mom was throwing the rope over the beam and asking her people out there to pull on.
How's her new foster home?
I don't know. I don't know what happened to her ever since then. But she left angered, you know, really tense.
How long were you here? How long have you been at ABC?
ABC. I see. That's about, since July the 3rd. 1961, which has got to be like 9 years.
Oh, that's the, when there was still MGM, WMGM.
No. WMGM is...
Had already subsided.
No. WHN used to be WMGM, used to be WHN before that.
Yeah. But I mean, when you first came here, was
there was a WMGM
doing Top 40, B. Mitchell Reed.
Doing rock stuff. B. Mitchell Reed was on MCA first. Was he on MGM?
I think he was on MGM.
I don't know. It's New York radio is like a...
Bounce back and forth.
Yeah, it's like like the Metropolitan. They don't throw any statues out. They move them from room to room a lot, you know.
Was it this popular? How long did it take?
What this popular?
AM. ABC AM.
ABC AM when I got here was the about the 12th station and 11th station market, you know. They'd done this and done that, and it had some success, but not really.
Oh, so you came here when they first started?
Just after the initial shock troops were being fired.
Oh, yeah. The whole payola thing?
No. Well, there was no payola thing here that I know of.
Oh, but, yeah, there was.
There was, really?
Yeah. I'll tell you about it off the air.
Oh, tell me about it on the air. I don't mind, you know.
No, I can't.
This is truth radio. Aren't we the alternative medium or something like that?
Yeah, something like
that. Have you guys thought what alternative medium, what the initials for that are? AM.
Right.
What are you trying to say here?
We'll have to think of another thing. Something that starts with F.
There you go. A lot of those words.
Yeah, F media. I guess that's sort of what we're trying to say, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. What kind of music do you like?
What kind of music do I like? I like all kinds of music except hillbilly music. You know, real bluegrass stuff turns me off, man. Very much off. I can't get into that.
Well, musically or because what it represents?
I don't know. Probably a combination of both. Musically, it just turns me off. It's a little, you know, like I like Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs because technically they're interesting to listen to, but
sure.
I don't like what music they're playing, you know. Just, all those notes and things happening nicely is fascinating, but I don't like the totality of it.
You ever feel cramped about not being able to pick your music?
Coffee's terrible.
Yeah, well, it always is. Do you ever feel cramped about not being able to pick your music, or is like your show your job and that has nothing to do with your
I'm somewhere in that bag, I guess. If I want to pick my music, I can play it at home. I don't have to, I think the guys who have to pick their music have their ego wrapped up too much in their work. You know, it's like they feel that they're demeaning themselves as a person by presenting something which they don't feel terribly committed to, which, if you know what I mean. I got to learn the language of Taurus, too.
Yeah.
No, I don't feel upset about not picking the music. I pick it from a list, a very narrow list.
Yeah.
AM radio is kind of like kicking field goals. You have a very narrow space through which to put the ball, and if you can do it.
It's getting brighter, though,
eh? Well, I don't know if it's bright or dim. I find it a challenge. You know, I try to say funny things in 3 seconds.
I mean, is the playlist being expanded? I mean, are there more picks
nowadays?
No.
No, we're still at about 30, 40 records, including the album cuts we play.
Including the album cuts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's really a tight list.
I guess it is. I've grown up with it. I believe in a tight list.
You know? Do really well?
Oh, sure. Because what the station that I work for is in the process of doing is presenting familiar music, and familiar music on a popular level is necessarily a tight list. I think the great percentage of people, and I mean people of all ages, who listen to radio have a very short memory as far as what's popular. You know, they don't like to crowd their mind with too much. And,
that's kind of a low opinion of people.
Oh, I have an enormous opinion of people, but I don't think they have enough time to get terribly involved with popular music. I mean, if you're a housewife, you know, you hear something, you remember it. You know, maybe an old record like you were listening to the first time you went out. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, AM radio has a whole different use. I mean, a whole different...
Like what?
Well,
tell
I mean,
me. I'd like to know about
it. Well, FM, I guess the reason for no playlist, the reason, you know, you can stop the music and talk is...
I've been known to do that on AM, too.
Have you really?
Mm-hmm.
Because people, a lot of people turn on FM. Well, a lot of people turn on FM as, you know, sort of just listening to it as a sort of subliminal thing. But most of those people nowadays, like they listen to a station like this, can listen to
I think I lost you there somewhere. Could you lay that on me again? I lost the thread.
Most of the people that listen to an FM station like this can tolerate, you know, not having every cut familiar, not digesting every cut.
Oh, I understand, sure.
They've sort of been reoriented.
But you have to be in the mood for it, and it has to be there.
Yeah.
Radio stations have to do, I think, maybe one or two things very well, and have to be available when people are in the mood to go to that kind of a fountain, if they want that kind of water, you know. That's why WABC does one thing and does it as much as it can within the limits of the FCC's regulations about the fact that you got to have the same thing on every station.
Mm.
Which is really what it boils down to.
Yeah. But yeah, this is WABC-FM in New York.
How about that? That was a station break.
I got it in quickly.
Legal. Are you in time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I made it in time. Even if I didn't, I used to, like, sometimes if it was, like, 3 minutes after 8 o'clock, I would always say it's a minute and a half after 8 o'clock. This is WABC, just for the soundscribers.
I understand. That's like me when I was working in New Haven during the morning show. This is the first time I've ever admitted this publicly. But we used to have a show on. I was on the air from 6 to 9 a.m., and I had to get in at 5:30 to turn the transmitter on, you know, push the plate thing, and then you wait 5 minutes till it warms up, and then you got to push the something or other, I don't know. Because you can't turn the tubes on without warming them up or something. I'm not
right,
imagining.
Yeah, you have to wait.
So I'd usually get there about 5 minutes of six. Well, from 5:45 to 6, we had a show on called the Holy Rood Hour, which was 15 minutes of prayers and things for people who like to start their day that way. And it was an ET, a little transcription. Well, I'd get on there about 5 minutes of six, push the plate button, push the tube on button, push the transmitter on button, and drop the needle in the middle of the Holy Rood Hour. That's how we signed on for 2 years, and I never knew it. So I know where you're at with taking out the soundscriber.
Well, that's what radio is. Fudging logs.
Mm. Yeah, well, sure. I know a guy who got fired for that, promptly left this place and started making $500,000 a year.
Did he?
Yeah, he produced a couple movies. He's bankrupt now, but he's starting all over again.
See, if I can get fired, I'll try and put that together.
Getting fired's a good thing. You know, it gets it all together to where it's really at and how much you need this.
Yeah.
The nice thing about having some money, which I have because they pay me handsomely there, not handsomely enough, if anybody's listening who counts, but... because my contract comes up in another year. But the nice thing about having a little is that it takes the pressure of needing money off your back. That may sound ridiculous, but it's groovy.
Except it's really a drag, though, because you can't the one job in which you can make a lot of money but you can't move in is radio.
Yeah.
You have to be there, you know.
I understand. You're locked in 6 days a week.
Yes, I am. Do you do six?
6 days a week here. But that will change or I will leave. Quietly saying that.
We're trying to get the 4-3 system in.
4-3 system?
Yeah, at least in FM anyway. The 4-3 system is 4 hours,
what?
4 hours, 4 days a week, or 5 hours, 3 days a week.
That sounds like the Transit Authority's latest demand, isn't it?
I don't know, but if you demand it hard enough, you can get it.
Well, no, if you demand it hard enough, you can find yourself on the street, which is great, too.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think I found
it. Hey, the nicest thing about my job is that I know I can do it anywhere.
Mm.
I mean, like, there are two stations, well, a third that I happen to know a guy at, who have already offered me enormous amounts of money for my service when my contract is up. That's groovy. That's total independence.
Mm.
Not only that, if I stop being a disc jockey tomorrow, I do an awful lot of commercials. And I make more money doing commercials than that. I mean, if you're going to peg it to money, I mean, I have that independence. But besides that, if everything stopped tomorrow, if suddenly, you know, I was no longer working, that would be groovy, too.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Yeah.
But don't you find people very intimidated by talent, administrative people?
Some of them are and some of them aren't. Depends on their intelligence and how hung up they are.
Yeah.
It's like the rest of the world. People deal with their own emotional hang-ups when they deal with other people.
This is probably the only situation where you'll find people who are your bosses, quote-unquote, and they'll stop by your office and stick their head in and say, if there's anything I can do, and then keep walking, you know.
No, that's mankind. Everybody does that. That's not just in this business.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you happen to be lucky enough to have met a lot of people, which may have given you personally a different perspective. But I've met so many people who say that, you know. It's like you got to come over sometime.
Yeah.
Is there anything I can do sometime?
It's like trading addresses and phone numbers. And
sure. At the end of the summer, don't give me your address. I don't want to run into you again. It was nice, Mabel. Goodbye.
This is Michael Kaskuna, and with me is Dan Ingram.
What's your real name, Mike?
That's it. That's my real name. You can't believe that, can you?
I believe it.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
Ingram is my real name. People won't believe it.
No.
You're going to play a record? I see you edging towards the controller.
Yeah, I'm going to. There's a certain amount of... We have to get in something on the playlist.
You do?
Yeah.
Heavy.
We have a playlist.
It's all right.
8,000 songs.
8,000 songs.
Yeah.
Hot darn.
Yeah.
Hot damn. How about that? Freedom.
You'd say damn now, yeah. But you can't say.
I know you can't.
Well, we're on a 7-second delay, so you really can.
We're not 7 seconds
delay.
Yeah,
we most certainly
are. We now on 7-second delay?
Yeah, the entire show's on a 7-second delay.
No wonder the needle has been flicking when I haven't been talking. Hey, you know, if I really said the word, I'd wake up John Black, who's the engineer in there.
I don't know. It'd take a lot more than that to wake him up. Anyway.
Hey, then we'd have to go live. I could say it again. Wouldn't happen, huh?
Yeah, I think in the FM we don't give the engineers enough to do, which is why they go to sleep.
No, the problem is they have to maintain that callus on the gluteus maximus. If it is not maintained, they get thrown out of the union.
Oh, really?
Right.
I didn't know that. The number here is 541-8150 if anybody dare call. It'll put you on the air, maybe. And let's get to some music. This is Ron Davies with Leon Russell on piano and something called It Ain't Easy. Okay.
See, you weren't very tight there. You're supposed to come right in on the end of the record with chime time.
No,
music time.
No, you know, as a matter of fact, if you come in too easy, I get letters if I do a talkover.
I get letters, too.
For doing talkovers?
Yeah, once in a while you get a letter. Like, I have two at home that are in my den. They're framed. And what are those two little signal fingers you just pointed at?
Oh, that's so that they'll have the commercial in the machine and we can run it tight.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's. You going to write a commercial?
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about letters before your commercial. But one is in crayon and has all kind of nasty words about shut the blank up, that word up. Don't talk, we want to hear the music. And the other is a nicely single space type letter from a guy who was working on his doctorate who wrote about all the little things I do and picked up on them. It's kind of fascinating. But I keep them framed in gold frames side by side to remind me of the polarity of the audience.
Did you always have that kind of style that you have now?
No. As a matter of fact, when I first got started in radio for 3 or 4 years, I was with the Golden Tones, you know, that kind of thing, trying real hard to beat the establishment at that time at its own game, and it didn't work out because I was too young to have golden tones. They were busy growing slowly as I abused my vocal cords. You know, your voice gets lower over the years. And one Thanksgiving morning, I was doing my morning show on WNHC Radio in New Haven, and I was really down, man. I had just driven in from Brantford, Connecticut, where I worked, and the world was dead. You know, even that place where all the truck drivers stopped, there was nobody.
Yeah, working on holidays is frightening.
Oh, and I was so down. And I got on the air, and I was in the middle of a Robert Hall commercial. I suddenly stopped. And I says, anybody up out there? Anybody? Call me. I want to talk to another human voice. I haven't seen a human being since I left my wife sleeping in her bed, you know. And the phone rang off the wall with about 20 young people who were in the same bag. Some woman was stuffing a turkey. Some guy was working in the garage somewhere. And all of a sudden, I found out that we're all in the same boat. And I happened to be taping that show because I was trying to get another job. I was doing a new chick. And I went home and listened to it. And it was the first time that I'd ever heard anybody, aside from maybe Arthur Godfrey and a few people like that, who had what I like to call contact, that one-to-one feeling over the air.
Mm.
And I suddenly realized we're all just folks, you know, trying to get somewhere and, you know, get across town or whatever it is. And since then, I've been that way. Yeah, it was a real turning point. Because from that point forward, I stopped with the phony voice. Although there were still traces of it for maybe a year and a half after that. I'd listen to old air chicks. And that got to be pretty much the way it is now.
Yeah. Were you influenced by anybody? Any other disc jockey?
Originally, Al Collins.
Oh, yeah.
Jazz bomb.
You have a little bit. Your voice is similar to his.
Hmm. Well, he has a pattern, which I probably can't do right now, but he has a particular way of speaking, which is unusual, because he brings up the ends of syllables.
Yeah.
And talks like that. On the end of it, I can't do it offhand.
Yeah. But, do you know Warren Kuepnes?
No, I don't.
And he's a record producer. He used to own Riverside Records.
I think I've heard his name, yeah.
Yeah, he has the same speech pattern.
See, we're not allowed to know record people in AM.
Yeah, well.
I really don't, though.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, amongst record pluggers, I am known as the Phantom. Because I don't even know their names, most of them. There are a few guys who plug records who are, you know, decent human beings who come out and say, well, no, this is my living. And they don't give you, what's the word, hockey or shine, it's about you know, how great the record is. But generally speaking, I don't know any of them. Tell me about Arne Kuepnes.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, he has the same speech pattern as Collins,
yeah.
The same
eyes.
Yeah. How are records picked on AM? Do you have a music meeting? Or?
Yeah, every Tuesday morning, I'm told there is a music meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And I make my quarterly appearances, maybe semi-annual, you know. Because you got to keep up with what management wants on the air and things of that nature. So I go to music meetings, but generally I don't go.
I mean, are records voted upon, or is there a music director that makes the final decision?
Well, we have a lovely young lady, Pearl Jackson, who takes care of all that. She handles the couple of hundred or so new singles that come in every week and looks over the charts and figures out what's happening and calls the affiliates and finds out, you know, like some record is all of a sudden number one in Pittsburgh. Why? You know, we want to hear it. Makes a compilation of the Billboard and Cashbox lists and that sort of thing, Record World. And does our own survey on what's selling. And in the meeting, they choose from some of the new records that seem to have promise.
We have just about 33, 34 seconds left until we have to go to network news.
Network news?
Yeah, now I couldn't do traffic. I couldn't do this in 30 seconds, but with your AM experience, you can. Why don't you try and get that in under the limit?
Trends of reduced speed on the BMT, LL trains due to yesterday's power failure at Long Island Railroad. The 705 Oyster Bay to Long Island City will be 30 minutes late due to engine trouble. Also, 10 to 15 minutes scattered delays in the Brooklyn Babylon branch. The Penn Central Railroad, the 550 and 619 trains will be delayed due to equipment trouble. The 653 out of Mount Kisco will be 13 minutes late due to engine trouble. Highways delays, West Side Highway, southbound
70th American FM Radio.
I can't do it, huh?
Ahmed Khatib, named this morning to be the new president of Syria. Khatib is 42.
Okay, Salem cigarettes.
Are we back on 7.5 delay? Or
yeah.
Have we always been on 7?
Always.
We're always, but the tape machine stopped.
No, no, the one up here I didn't.
Oh, the one up there is the one that does the delay.
Yeah.
I see. Oh.
It's just a continuous loop. They're too cheap to use tape.
I see. It's multimedia here.
Do you know that Salem, it says in the commercial, has natural menthol as opposed to artificial menthol?
I would imagine that's all right.
I always wondered what that is, though, Dan.
Well, I like words like the large economy quart, you know, as opposed to the small, expensive quart. You know. That's fine. I like to point those little things out on the air.
Well, now, I guess some psychologists have infiltrated the advertising game or at least the merchandising game, because I notice a lot of places now, there's no longer a small size.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot
small
of pizza,
size is large.
A lot of pizzerias have only medium and large.
Yeah, and toothpaste, for instance, it starts with a large size, and then goes to the family size, and then the giant size, and the economy size, and then the big mother load.
Yeah. Let's say, you're into commercials a lot.
What? Yeah.
It's really exorbitant, isn't it?
What's exorbitant?
Outrageous, the pay.
Mm-mm. It takes you maybe 5-10 years to get into that field, to really work your way into where you're making bread.
Yeah.
And if you have the whatever it is they want, because that changes from day to day, I think you should be outrageously compensated for it, because the livelihood is at least tenuous. At best, you may have a chance once or twice a year to do something that's really worthwhile.
Yeah,
it's outrageous, but it's the nice part of it is going to the mailbox and finding money in the mailbox.
Surprise.
For something being played in Kansas City, you know.
Yeah.
That's groovy. I like that. It's like there's a whole network going on I don't even know about.
How many cycles have to run before, I guess you always get paid, even though it's in decreasing?
It depends on whether it's AFTRA and SAG and whether it's Wild Spot or Program Spot or whether it's, it gets so involved. There's a book with about 50 pages in it. We can explain all that.
So you just record them and wait for the check?
I just tell my agent to, you know, lean on him with a little chutzpah.
Yeah.
They get paid.
You ever do any on-camera things?
No, I don't want to do on-camera things. You can get too identified that way, and I don't want to be identified. For instance, I won't tell you what commercials I do.
Oh, I can pick them up. They're very...
Well, maybe you can, but you see, when I do a commercial, I'm an anonymous voice.
That there's one that's really annoying, that new one.
Which new one?
Where you argue with that girl. Or not you argue, but you have one, I forget what to say.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Posner's Bergamot is good. This is what?
That's... Draws a straight line every time.
That's it. Draws a straight line every time. Yeah.
Yes, I understand. I like that. They play that a lot.
Yeah, they sure do.
Yeah, that's great. She's a nice lady, too.
It's incredible. Yeah. I guess Dick Cavett stopped doing commercials. His voice became too identifiable.
No, he hasn't stopped. He just wants triple scale now, and there aren't too many folks who are ready to pay that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get away with scale and a half if you're really well-known. Double scale if it's, you know, like Orson Welles gets double scale for all those Wings of Man things.
For what?
Eastern Airlines, he does all that.
Oh, that's right, yeah, he does do that.
The Wings of Man.
Yeah.
You know, that, well, what a voice on that guy. Love him, yeah. He could do anything. He'd read the phone book, I'd listen.
Yeah, I know, it's really amazing.
I dig voices.
Like Richard Burton, too.
Yes, he's got a fantastic voice. And the great thing about fantastic voices is they have something wrong with them. All of them. You know, they're nasal, or they're throaty, or they're, you know, they're not perfect. Because they sound real.
It's also how you use it, too.
Yeah, it do help if you know, to what end to put it while you're doing it. You know. What emotion. You know, like you can make any word sound appetizing if you do it the right way. Oh, sure. You know, you do a commercial about a pimple cream, and a guy in a booth will say, yeah, make it a little more appetizing. You know, I don't know what's appetizing about pimple creams, but, you know, you can come on warm pimples. You know, it sounds good, even though it isn't. You know.
Yeah. Do you ever get any hassles with some of the things you try and slip in on AM?
No, I don't slip in anything other than I try to do little things that I call rapport bits. And you can have rapport with different segments of your audience. Pop music is a great platform upon which to do other things, too. You have a broad bed of popular appeal, which is very nice. And then on top of that, you can put a little bit of icing once in a while. And it's nice to drop icing on the cake. Once in a while, you get hassles, but not terribly often. I mean, you can get on left field. No matter what you say, somebody teed off at it.
But do you ever plan what you're going to say? I mean, do you ever plan any of the monologues in your show? Not really monologues.
Well, mini-logs, maybe.
Mini-logs, yeah.
No, it's pretty much off the top of my head. Once in a while, I'll have something that I want to say. But the only time I ever plan anything out is, I have to after three assassinations, I got on the air and pretty well planned out what I had to say.
Yeah, it was
like I felt like a rat being there, you know. But I have to, you know. I was really copping out. But aside from things like that, situations in which you have to be very careful with what you say, especially if you want to communicate how you really feel without being misunderstood. Yeah.
Yeah.
But very rarely.
Do you like the whole high-pressure, fast pacing?
Well, it's synthetic tension and excitement. It's fun to manufacture it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to be able to control it.
Sounds like you're really enjoying it.
I am enjoying it. It's like having a psychiatrist without paying him. You know, you just sit there and get rid of all your aggressions and hang-ups and, you know, have fun games.
Well, you're on 4 hours a day, right?
2 to 6 every afternoon.
And do you ever find it difficult to turn yourself on?
Oh, sure. But whenever things get grim, I think of Wednesday. And Wednesday, a young lady comes around with a wheelbarrow with many monies thereupon, and I'm allowed to select and keep several. This is good for instant ebullience and jocularity, all kinds of fun. It's a basic reminder, you know, because we're really... Every time we turn over a paycheck, any of us is really a hooker. You know, when you put your name on the back, you sold your body. That's what it boils down to. If you're going to do that for a living, you might as well be a high-priced one, and that's where it's at, I guess.
Are you not allowed to do record spots, too? I am.
No, we do record spots. We do tags to them, but we don't record them. You mean record commercials for record albums?
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not allowed to. I think that makes some sense.
Yeah. And well, over and above whatever paranoia they may have, it also makes sense because... if they happen to recognize your voice selling your record. I guess it's more an FM maybe than AM, but your credibility goes down quite a bit.
I think so. I think you have to maintain a certain objectivity about the music you're performing, whether or not it's on a short list or a long list, and I think it all falls from that. But
payoffs are much more anonymous than doing a commercial.
I wouldn't know about that.
You wouldn't?
Never. Funny thing is, I've been in this business for years, and people ask me, you know, quietly, like,
hey,
what
do you want?
Nobody ever even approached me.
I know, that's really funny.
Ever.
Yeah.
Not once. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's true, really.
I think I've gotten a direct approach twice, maybe. Yeah.
Once a guy sent me, like, 30 Count Basie albums, which I sent back. I said, you know, I got most of these anyway, but thanks, but no thanks. And that kind of cooled it from there. That's about as direct as it ever got.
Why did you bother to send him back? That was really new.
Well, I was a program director of the station, WIL in St. Louis, and I had no need for the albums, and I didn't want anybody to think I did.
Mm.
It was all very private and very quiet, and, you know, I didn't make a federal case out of it. I did manage to keep a copy of the letter I sent back to him, though.
Yeah. Did you think you'd ever like to get back into program directing? And...
Coffee is... You can't talk and drink coffee at the same time.
Sometimes it's...
you can if you want to get your chest all wet. Ooh, that feels good. Program directing. Well, I do program direct to a certain extent when I'm on the air. Now, program directing is kind of a dead end in this business. In most areas, there are people who have vaulted that barricade, but very few. And usually they grow horizontally rather than vertically. I mean, they spread out to some other area where they can grow. I mean, I suppose the penultimate of program directors would be somebody like Bill Drake. But where does he go from there? You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's worth millions. Great. You know.
Well, your style's sort of the antithesis of what he's, I think.
In a sense, it is. I can do that kind of show, you know. They're not together now, but here they are again for you, the mamas and papas. You know, play an old record. But, yeah. And that's kind of fun. Yeah, I do it every once in a while as a put-on. I think people take it seriously, though, which is kind of weird. But
I don't know. I don't think they do.
Well, I hope not.
I know a lot of people who are into Dan Ingram as a performer.
What is Dan Ingram as a performer? I like to hear opinions back from
what
people.
What is Dan Ingram? It's a... your show, is, as I told you off the air anyway, it's the 1 a.m. show that you would stop, you'd sit down and purposely listen to.
True.
Which is, you know...
That's
what
nice
I used to
say.
Do. It's hysterical. It's really funny. Oh. I mean, your pacing is incredible. You know, your timing.
Yeah, that's one of the few things I'll admit to being egotistical about. If I have nothing else, I have a sense of timing. I don't know where I got it. Maybe because my father's a musician and I kind of learned a lot of things that way from him.
Mm-hmm.
But I can pretty well tell when the vocal's going to start in a record, even if I've never heard it before. Yeah. And there's a lot of times when I've never heard it before. You know, all of a sudden it's number 24, and I got to act like I heard it and played it last week.
That says as much about music nowadays as it does about you. This is WABC FM New York. It really does. All right?
I understand. Yeah. And sing.
But also, you know how to use your voice very well. And you inject somehow in a top 40 format, which is a pretty straight-ahead format, over and above a general impression, you manage to inject quite a lot of personality and quite a lot of content into it.
It's not too hard to do if you miniaturize things. For instance,
whether it's hard to do or not, you happen to be one of the few people doing it.
Well, anyway, it really isn't hard. A grunt in the right place can be funny.
Yeah, well, that's one of your trademarks.
But I have one of those minds that whenever I say anything, immediately I find three other meanings for what I said, and one of them's funny, you know.
Right.
And I try and say those kind of things on the air. It's what Steve Allen used to call the curious juxtaposition. Later he called it the jump shift, when you take two different meanings of a word and put them back to back. They somehow are funny.
Mm. Yeah, he took a lot of chances, too.
He's great, I think, very much. Very smart guy.
Would you put on your headset? We'll take a telephone call.
Put on my headset.
Had the courage to call. By the way, the number here is 541-8150.
I got to clear my throat. Every time I put on a headset, it's automatic.
Good morning, WABC FM.
Good morning, how about six, Mr. Ingram?
My name's Dan, honey.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're speaking to me.
Okay. I'd like to ask you, who listens to AM radio?
Is that a put down or a question?
Silly question, I'm serious.
All right, I would say if you're talking about AM radio like WABC, mm-hmm. Our bulk of our audience is from 18 to 35, and from 12.
Well, like you think, like you have a lot of high school students listening or something.
We do. We have about 70% of the available high school students.
Yeah, well, that sounds funny, like, because my friends and everything, like, I'm 14, I've been listening to this station for, like, over a year. I used to listen to ABC AM.
Uh-huh.
And, like, all of my friends are either listening to this one or the one of the dial.
Which one's that? N-E-W?
Yeah.
O-R?
N-E-W.
N-E-W?
Don't mention N-E-W on the air, okay?
This is not WNEW-FM, New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it seems like the kids who listen are either in 5th, 6th, or 7th grade.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I think there are a lot more AM and FM radio sets around, which has a lot to do with the fact that people want something more than just the same old stuff every day. But I think people's interests are broadening, and therefore there are going to be other kinds of programming on the air. And I think it's also a status thing. It's like people used to say they listened to WQXR when they really didn't. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Are you into what I mean, or am I being very obscure?
Yeah, I am.
Let me ask you something. Do you... before this morning, if you hadn't heard what we were talking about, would you have noticed Dan Ingram as being somewhat unusual for an AM jock?
Not really, because, like, I haven't listened to that for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was into it a year ago. Okay.
All righty. Keep listening to whatever you listen to. Keep the sets in use. That's my motto.
When ARB calls you, give them the call letters.
Okay? Goodbye.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Good morning, WABC FM.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Dan.
That's me. You have a very sexy voice.
Oh, absolutely.
Or is it just early in the morning?
No, it's all day.
Oh, heavy.
I've been wanting to...
Do I know you?
Pardon?
Do I know you?
Yes, you do. I've been trying to reach you for days, too, but that's all right.
Okay.
Mike is a heavy dude.
No, I want to tell you that you're... jazz show that you used to have on FM.
Great.
The best show on the air.
Well, thank you. Very kind.
Now, really, I was so sorry when it went off, although I am a big fan of yours on AM radio, so...
Well, the FM...
Girl who wants to know who listens, it's old people like me, you know.
The FM show was a labor of love.
Oh, it was so nice. You know, the music was always just right, and it was beautiful to hear a program that played the blues.
I mean, that's where it all came from.
That's right.
And I was probably the first guy who played all those old Bessie Smith records.
That's right, and nobody paid any attention to you whatsoever.
Wasn't it fun? I liked it that way.
Yeah, well, I liked it, too. I'm really sorry you don't have it anymore.
Before you drive me crazy, what's your first name?
Georgia.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you at the office?
No, I'm home now, but I'll be at the office later.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So anyway, Dan, carry on. I love your AM show, too.
Thank you.
Okay?
Nice talking to you.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It drives me crazy when I can't pinpoint a voice. Good morning, WABC-FM.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Good. Can I speak to Dan Ingram?
That's yeah. me.
Hello, Dan.
Yes.
How are you? Listen, some people do listen to AM radio.
I'm aware of that. As a matter of fact.
In the car.
Yeah.
When I'm not home and I can't listen to ABC-FM, I do listen to AM.
That's grand. I like your car. Why don't you put an FM radio on it?
Hey, listen, I was just wondering, are you a fan of Steve Allen?
Yes, I always have been.
Yeah, because I see a great deal of similarity in your sense of humor or your use of the backward words. I really think it's great.
Yeah, that's there. He's been a fan of mine ever since he first came to New York with the Four Freshmen on
mm-hmm.
CBS
And you say you played old jazz records on an FM station, is that correct?
I played a lot of blues. Some of it was old.
Blues, rather. Did you ever hear of a woman by, I don't know her first name, but last name is Spivvy?
Victoria.
Victoria Spivvy.
No, I've never heard of Victoria Spivvy.
No.
Do you got the new Dylan album?
Pardon me?
Do you have the new Dylan album?
No.
Oh. Well, she's on the back cover.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tell me about Victoria Spivvy. I want to know. She must have cut a wide swath somewhere.
I ran into her one day, and she's quite a phenomenal woman.
In New York?
Yeah, in Brooklyn somewhere.
Oh, God, if you find her again, yeah, put her in touch with me.
Really?
I know Moondog.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dan.
Righto.
Right, bye-bye.
Nice talking to you, bye.
That was nice encouragement. The number here is 541-8150. 541-8150. Victoria Spivvy. You know who she is, don't you?
No, I don't know.
Oh, she's a fantastical blues singer from...
I know Ma Rainey.
Yeah, I was just going to say she's from around that era, somewhere between Ma Rainey and Bessie Smith.
I must have missed that on her.
She's still singing. She has her own record company, too.
Okay.
And she's got remember Big Joe Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she's got an album of Big Joe Williams with Bob Dylan playing second guitar.
Oh, that's
from
groovy.
The mid-50s.
That's groovy.
Yeah.
That's wild. I ran into Blind Boy, what was his name? I can't remember his
blind
name.
Blind Dead Somebody.
No, Blind Boy...
Fuller?
Fuller.
Yeah.
Ran into him. He's still around. Yeah. He's still singing in clubs, working on his fourth wife right now.
Is he?
Groovy guy.
The guy's name, yeah. I used to live near a fella in Philadelphia who managed a lot of people, so every time I'd go over his house, somebody would be there, Fun House or Fred McDowell, and just all these great impromptu concerts. All
you should keep a microphone.
Okay. We start with one? Okay. Good morning, WABC-FM.
Oh, good morning. Is Dan there?
I'm here, baby.
Oh, you're here.
I'm here.
Last year on Moratorium Day, after every newscast, you play Give Peace a Chance.
Right.
Now, I was wondering, did they tell you, did you get any repercussions about that, or would you get any repercussions about that?
They never knew about it. They do now, though. You've tipped my mitt. As a matter of fact, I played Give Peace a Chance because I felt very strongly about that. And
that was the impression I got.
Yeah, but I'm not in an editorial position to come on and rap about it on the air, so I didn't do that. But I did what I did,
I noticed that I was driving a truck at the time, and I had a radio, and I was listening constantly, and I was after every newscast, it came on.
Yeah.
Specifically, it didn't bother commenting on it.
No, I didn't think I had to.
If you would get in trouble for saying something specifically about the issue.
You see, I cannot take an editorial stance on the air. That is the prerogative of management in the framework of what I do for a living. And I'm there to entertain and sell. I mean, that's really what I do. I don't even have to know what music I'm playing as long as I know the title and the artist. But I did want to say something without saying something, so I did it.
I see.
It's like I said before, if you are listening, AM radio is kind of like those goalposts. You have to kick a very narrow space so you don't get it through. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that does, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just curious about that. Just want to say, I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you.
I have to listen to AM sometimes in my car.
Ah.
And it's usually in the afternoon.
Well, that's groovy.
I really like your sense of humor. Sometimes you're the only person I've ever heard on the radio that can really make me hysterical with laughter.
Well, that's grand.
I mean, some of the things that you said, I can't remember anything offhand.
I can't either. That's because it happens when I do it, and
it's gone. Yeah,
yeah, it's the word plays and things.
Yeah.
It really cracks me up sometimes.
Well, great. I'm glad somebody listens. That's good.
Well, take it easy.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I knew it. By the way, Truth and Soul can be found at Fulton's Follies in New York City in Instant Pants.
Instant Pants.
Instant Pants.
That's the place you walk in and zap, you know, this guy with a wand named Merlin. He waves it and you turn into a toad.
No, nowadays with a whip.
Bondage, bondage.
It's the new style of sex. By the way, there's a disclaimer at the beginning of the show, so feel free.
Where is it? Where's the disclaimer at the beginning of the show?
At the beginning of this show, so you can editorialize.
I can editorialize? Oh, I hate Spyro Agnew. There you go.
It makes it...
Actually, I love him because he has awakened an awful lot of noses.
Oh, I'm glad you gave equal time to the other point of view.
No, no, this is the same point of view. He's opened up a whole lot of heads to what can be done in the democratic process, which is a little frightening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, what you're saying, Dan, is that you hate Spiro Agnew's policies, but not Spiro Agnew as a person. You're not making a personal attack.
I wouldn't make a personal attack on any human being in the world that I've never met.
Right on. That takes care of that.
That's the disclaimer?
Anyone on that? No, but I mean, personal attack you can't even do.
Oh, I wouldn't attack anybody personally, although it's legal to attack officials and government now.
But only to attack their policies.
Oh, yeah.
You can hate Spiro Agnew's policies, but you
don't
hate Spiro
himself.
Oh, well,
what he stands for. You know, people call me Big Dan, but that's a role I play. He's playing the role of Spiro Agnew.
Yeah, right.
Or Spiro, or whatever it is.
T. What does the T stand for?
Tempestuous. Titanic.
Good morning, WABC FM.
I have a question. I don't have anything very profound to say, but...
Bless you.
What?
Bless you. It's too early to be profound.
Well, first of all, the first question is, about 2 years ago, I heard on a radio station, a very far distant one on Long Island, Bob Dylan's Sour Tapes, Wheels on Fire. And it was really fantastic. And everyone I talked to, Bob Dylan fans, I've never heard of it. And I'd like to know if you know anything about it, where I could get it, or get any information on it.
I think that was a Fats Domino record you heard.
No, it was Bob Dylan.
Oh.
I know it was. Because
the folk singer?
It was about a half an hour they played.
The same Bob Dylan?
Yeah, Bob Dylan. Wheels on Fire, and they said it was a tape, that it wasn't a record.
Well, he might have been at somebody's house, you know, and someone turned on the tape machine. I never heard of it either.
See, it's probably, how do I say this? I guess I just say it. It's probably a bootleg record.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't dare say that it was a bootleg record.
Yeah.
See, because that's illegal to play a bootleg record, but it's not illegal to play a tape.
But there isn't any way for a public person to get a hold of it, right?
I don't know. What's what's a public person?
Me.
Oh, really?
I'm a public person. Well,
you know what you do? Call, or try and find out. Is he in the book? Is he listed? Oh, A.J. Weberman. Alan Weberman. He's a Dylanologist, the only Dylanologist.
A.J. Weber?
Weberman.
Weberman.
Right. And
yeah.
He's
also,
dedicated his life
is,
to this inane... What?
My other question is, someday, I would be very pleased if someone would take a poll and find out what is a suburbia housewife.
What is a suburbia housewife?
I was thinking of taking that poll myself once.
It's been done.
It's been done?
Yeah, several milkmen were once polled.
Several milkmen?
Yes. The results were inconclusive.
Yeah.
I've often thought of selling vacuum cleaners during my more horny days. But,
But do you know what a suburbia housewife is?
Yeah, she's teed off. That's what she is, generally.
in society,
She is a prisoner of male chauvinism. How about that?
No, I don't. I'm not a female liberalist. I don't go for that.
Oh, sure you do.
No, I'm happy. I enjoy being a girl.
Well, that depends on your definition of what a girl is.
Yeah, right.
You know, like your definition of what a housewife is. It's very nebulous.
Well, the suburbia housewife is put down so much. You know, I drive my husband to the train station, you know, with a kid in the back seat. But it's not a station wagon. It's nothing but a Volkswagen.
Oh, that's all right then.
Oh, therefore you're all right.
Yeah.
Therefore I'm all right.
No, it's not a ranch wagon.
The suburbia housewife is really put down.
No, who's putting them down? I'm not putting them down.
No, I don't have any strong feeling one way or the other of exactly what a suburbia housewife is. But I'm wondering, you know, I suddenly from the city moved into suburbia with a, you know, $35,000 house and the whole thing. You know, I'm wondering all around me, they're all suburbia housewives. Wonder what everybody else thinks they are.
Have you done any statistics of your own on those around you and what they're like?
What kind of statistics? Personal or...
Personal, yeah. Wouldn't you say that the suburban housewife is the woman who misses Herb Oscar Anderson?
Did she what?
The woman who misses Herb Oscar Anderson?
Oh, I don't know. I can only say all I heard about suburbia housewife and the stories and what you read, you know, is cards, sex, affairs, and running around.
And
husband comes home, you have a wonderful dinner prepared, and you have, you know, evening by candlelight, and you go to sleep at 9 o'clock because he has to catch the 7 o'clock train.
Are you telling me you're missing out on some of this?
Well. Possibly, don't know if I'm missing out or doing the right thing.
Well, it depends on your own head, you know.
Well, all right, so then the suburbia housewife is only a myth, maybe.
Could be. I don't know.
Could be. Well, I'm not going to take up any much more time.
Okay, tell you what. In about 10 years, call back and tell me, okay?
What I've done?
Right. Let me know where it's at.
All right. Bye. Listen, thanks. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. This is WABC-FM in New York. This is Michael Kaskuna talking with Dan Ingram. And the number here is 541-8150. Do you like this? You like taking calls?
Oh, it's great.
Talking to the street people. Good morning, WABC-FM in New York.
Good morning. Dan?
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
I used to be an AM freak for a long time.
Yeah, I did too.
And you and Gene Shepherd were the only two guys that ever really turned me on AM until I switched to FM.
Hey, that's nice company because I dig him too. I used to listen to him when he was doing the All Night Show on WOR.
I used to
try to be like him. I used to try to like him and Al Collins and a few other folks on the air who seemed to have something to say to the listener. And I thank you for putting me in that kind of company because I dig him too.
Why don't you do one of your chicken commercials? You're a fantastic chicken commercial.
The chicken to light spots with Super Chicken?
Chicken parts.
Oh, yes, I used to do that. Every time I'd read one of those A&P spots for drawn and quartered chickens, I'd have a chicken clucking pensively in the background, you know, and just tell them to go to the man with a knife and shut up, you know.
Are you a Jay Ward fan?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I should have known.
Yes, like all those folks. No, I used to do spots for Chicken Delight. We had Super Chicken, who was in reality Clark Capon. And he had a girlfriend, Lois Leghorn. And, of course, the evil Rhode Island Red was the bad cat in that. Did you ever hear any of those?
Yeah, I heard a few of those. They were pretty good. I liked the other ones. Easy Assemble by Any Small Child.
I remember that. Yes, chicken parts, 29 cents a pound. These chicken parts are easily assembled by any small child. You say that one. You know, build your own bird.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey, nice talking to you.
Okay, bye.
Bye, bye. Where'd you get the idea for Super Chicken? From Super Chicken?
No, I made it up in my head one day.
Because there is a Super Chicken.
Yeah, I know there is a Super Chicken, but this was years ago. In the Orient.
In the Orient.
When I learned the secret of how to cloud men's minds.
I guess most radio people start in Hong Kong.
Yeah, but I, like a fool, left the Orient before I learned the secret of how to cloud women's minds.
Did you?
Which has led to all kinds of weird problems in my life.
Good morning, WABC-FM.
Good morning, Dan.
Morning.
Yeah, you're slowly losing your mind. You realize that, of course.
That's gone many years ago.
Listen, I want to thank you for one thing. You just told me what yesterday means.
Right.
And I met a dynamite Norwegian chick this weekend. And I checked her out this weekend. Now I can make a big impression on her. All thanks to listening to you. Thank you very much.
Wait, before you go, I'll give you something else you can tell her that will really turn her on.
What's that?
You go up to her and you say, "Jeg sikker på at deres engelsk bedre enn min norsk."
Oh, come on. I just think it's working nice. I can't remember that.
Well, it's very simple. I spent a lot of money. You know how I learned Norwegian?
How?
I got a mother-in-law who's Norwegian, right?
She
used to come to the house and she'd rap with my wife and she'd be talking in Norwegian. Well, that's kind of a drag being only the dum-dum in the room, right?
Right.
As my wife understood. So I took a few bills of my hard-earned after-tax dollars and went to Berlitz secretly, unbeknownst to anyone. And then one day she came over and she's rapping on in Norwegian and I interrupted her with that phrase I just recited, which you can remember. It means, "I'm certain that your English is better than my Norwegian. Would you mind speaking in English?" Well, it was worth every penny just to see the mouth drop to the floor.
You spent all that money just to put somebody down?
You know it, baby.
That sounds like something you do, Dan.
There is an old Arab saying, "Revenge is a dish best eaten cold."
Dan, one question. Maybe embarrassing, but I got to ask it.
What?
Have you heard from or know what Bob Dayton is doing since that incident with ABC?
I saw Bob Dayton. He bought the Enola Gay and opened it as a Japanese restaurant. No, I'm putting you on. He's working on the coast. He was in town just a couple weeks ago. I saw him. He looks great, and he's
now, that kind of thing could go over now, and nobody'd say anything about it, I guess.
I don't think so on the anniversary of Hiroshima with the Hiroshima Maidens in town and a whole bunch of tense people. I disagree. I think you have...
Do you think it was bad humor? Do you think it was poor taste? Or I don't want to pin you down or anything. If you don't want to answer, you don't have to.
Oh, I'll answer anything. I think it was... the kind of humor that I can enjoy in a living room.
How did he say it? Do you remember? Did you hear it?
Yeah, he did. He said, and I have it home on tape, it's the anniversary of Hiroshima, and in honor of that, or where's that effect, he played 16 Candles, which starts, happy birthday, baby, you know. And
I thought that happy birthday by the Toon Weepers.
No, it was 16 Candles by the Crest. And it's... sardonic and sarcastic, and I think he had something to say, and I think he did it at the wrong time. That's all.
Is he doing AM, or has he been liberalized FM?
He was working at KFWB. He was working in what is the one out of town that used to play the guitar and sing the news for a while in AM?
That guy Bill somebody?
Yeah. But anyway, he's I don't know what he's doing. I haven't heard him. I'm going out the coast for a couple days next week, and I'll let you know.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
Thanks for calling.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye. That guy used to drive me up a wall in the mornings. He used to do a morning show in New York, right?
Dayton?
No. The guy who kept strumming his guitar.
Oh, Bill Coderre.
Is that who it was?
Yes. He was just, sacked out of HN or someplace.
Oh, was he?
Or maybe he's leaving for a better job. I don't know whether he quit or whatever.
Wearing his guitar around his neck.
He's a nice guy, by the way.
Is he?
Yeah.
I wish he'd stop playing that guitar.
I didn't listen to him either.
Good morning, WABC-FM.
Good morning. May I speak to Dan, please?
You're speaking to me.
Good morning. I enjoyed the humor flingering very much.
Good, I do too. It keeps food on the table, yeah.
I think you happen to be the best AM disc jockey in New York.
Thank you.
In fact, I always used to listen to AM until I got an FM in my car. The reason being that at night they play that one commercial all night long on AM.
You mean the Denison commercials?
Well, I thought I was supposed to mention names.
Yeah, well, not yours, but you can mention Mr.
Do
Denison.
You know something? In Philadelphia, there's an identical campaign. The same person who writes that copyrights it for Cy Herald in Philadelphia, and it's the same nighttime saturation.
Well, I don't know if it's the same guy, because I understand that Mr. Denison himself, whatever his name is, writes the commercials for Denison.
Well, that's what Cy Herald said, too, but they're identical.
Well, maybe they're listening to each other, you know.
Yeah,
they may be on the phone every afternoon, you know.
Well, I want to ask you two things. First of all, what happened to Charlie Greer?
Charlie was in Philadelphia for a while.
WIP.
And I think he's now at a station in Rockland County.
Mm-hmm. And back in 1964, you had a contest when the Rolling Stones first came out.
Yeah.
Whether you liked them or not.
Right, I did.
You initially didn't like them. Do you like them now?
Oh, yeah. I didn't like one record they put out, and I've forgotten what the heck it was.
Time is on my side.
Right, and now I play it all the time. It took me a while to get into them.
Well...
Listen, you know, like I didn't like the Beatles when they first came out. My musical taste is the kiss of death. If I like somebody, they'll never happen. It's true.
Yeah.
So anyway, I went on the air and I said, you know, this doesn't turn me on too much. What does it do to you? And I said, right in. I put up some of my own money, as a matter of fact, for a little contest. One of the checks never came back. I think somebody's got it framed at home and they're writing bum checks with my signature on it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good talking.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Good morning, WABC AM, FM.
No, bad. Hello there.
Hello?
Oh, speak up.
Oh, speak. I can't really talk so good because I got my teeth wired, you know?
Hey, I did that too, man.
Yeah?
That's a drag.
But I've been listening to this town, you know, like I dig all the music, you know?
Groovy.
And like right now, I'm trying to pick up the music that you have there, you know, and make it sound like Woodstock, you know?
Uh-huh. All right.
You know, like I'm digging on Woodstock, you know, the picture like I've seen it, you know?
All righty.
So now I want to hear Black Magic Woman or Jimi Hendrix, you know?
Yeah.
Single Banner, Joe Cochran, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like all in, you know?
Right.
You know, like most of the songs got on there real hot, you know?
Yeah, we try to do that.
So I was just wondering if you could put the Star Spangled Banner on for me.
Hey, listen, I tried to get on. You mean that particular Star Spangled Banner?
Yeah.
Tried to get that on, it never happened. I wanted to play it on the 4th of July.
And they wouldn't let you?
No, it wasn't. They wouldn't let me. They wouldn't let anybody. It wasn't just me.
Well, yeah.
I was just wondering if you could put Crime Music on by Joe Cocker.
What, by Joe Cocker?
Crime Music.
Cry Me a River, I love it. Great record.
Me too.
Okay. Okay.
We'll try and get it on for you.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay. The hit line is 541-8150, 541-8150. This is WABC-FM. Michael Kaskuna with Dan Ingram making his token appearance back on FM.
Heavy.
Oh.
I wonder how fast, blade go in there.
I wonder how fast it would take the engineer to get cartridge 121, get it in the machine, and run it.
Is that a commercial?
Yeah.
You copped that.
Commercial for King Carroll.
I remember her. Wonderful.
Ben King and Ben Carroll. Go ahead.
For years, the new King Carroll record store is on Main Street in Flushing, and it's open now.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah. Just come on around here. I have to go to the bathroom. And in the meantime...
That's refreshing.
Isn't that refreshing to hear? This is Honest Radio. In the meantime, Dan Ingram is going to take over
the
show.
Side here.
Okay? You can just hit the phones from there. Don't worry about the log.
Don't worry about the log.
Just at 9:15 straight up.
Network
news. Yeah.
Is that with a seven-second delay or what?
Don't
put the earphones in my wrong ear. I'm a right ear man.
Okay, then just leave that. This is non-existent.
This is non-existent?
Right. Okay.
There's another earphone hanging down.
Have a bowl.
Okay, where are the Fats Domino records? We don't have any Fats Domino. Oh, what do I do? Just press the button? Two? Or is that piece? Two, I see. Okay. I just push it and I'm on, right? Hello there. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Dan.
That's me.
Yeah, the two questions I wanted to ask you. Number one, I just wanted to repeat what everyone else has said and say that you're the best disc jockey on AM.
Oh, thank you.
In New York. But I wanted to ask you two things. Number one, do you really enjoy the music that's on the playlist at AM? I mean, what do you think about most of the stuff you have to play every day?
Why do people ask me that question all the time? It's like you must think I'm some kind of terrible phony.
It's not that you're a phony or anything. I just get it's not even the question of whether you like it just per se. It's just having to hear the same playlist over and over again. Does it get a little bit old? I mean, for you, or do you just not listen to it anymore?
Certain records get a little bit old. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, like you don't love them all, but it's music. It's not music for the ages. I mean, it doesn't have to be.
Right.
And it's fun music. I have fun when I work. But you got to remember that I don't necessarily sit back and listen to all those records while they're on the air. I'm busy. I'm setting up all those commercials.
Right, right. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, I know you worked with an FM format once. I mean, working in a freer format tempt you at all, or are you pretty happy with the AM format?
Well, I'll tell you why I stopped doing it. There are two reasons. Number one, they didn't want me to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, it got to the point where I just didn't have the time to do it. Putting together an hour show in such a narrow format, it's playing all blues.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you get to the point where you're spending 2-3 hours to set up a 1-hour show, and then you got to do the show on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't have the time. I got very busy doing commercials, and there's a lot of bread in that. And frankly, I dig bread, you know.
Yeah, I'm hip. Well, I mean, what if they just gave you like a 4-hour show? I mean, would you like consider changing over entirely?
Well, if they give me 4-hour money, I would.
Okay, well, anyway, thanks for brightening up AM. Anyway.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Do I pick up one now? Hello, one.
Hello?
Hello there.
Am I on?
You're on the air. My name's Dan Ingram. What's yours? No, 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 you can't
tell me. I can't tell you that.
That's right. I'm sorry. I just like
to ask. I wanted to ask, how much do you think the listener-sponsored stations, BAI and on the coast, the other Pacifica things, and that thing in Houston when they let it be on the air for a day or two, how much do you think they had to do with their being, well, first ORFM the way it used to be, then NEWFM, and now ABC-FM?
Well, I think they opened up a wedge that hadn't been there before for a certain amount of freedom of expression of opinions, which are not necessarily the most popular. And I think they had a great deal to do with it. Although,
which turned out to be more popular than they expected them to be, probably.
I think so, but that's relative, too. You know, on AM, we have a line at the bottom of our publicity which says, last year, as in the preceding 6 years, more people listened to WABC than any other radio station in North America. So that's kind of popular. I don't know whether it's going to hit that kind of levels, but maybe.
Well, that's wonderful. But, you know, now I'm going to see, some a lot of people have been saying, hey, why don't you go get on FM, because we'd love to hear what you do in this free format and all that, and it would be interesting. I'd like it. But
probably about the same.
Because
I'm me, you know.
Yeah, I know, but you could be a little more you, I suspect. If you could, if they let you editorialize on the air, for example, I'm sure you would.
Maybe.
Anyhow, it'd be your decision to make instead of the station.
Well, perhaps. I haven't really gotten my head too terribly filled with delusions of what I do is valuable enough to stretch it out to 4 hours worth.
Okay, I don't want you to do a 4-hour editorial, because I like to have fun when I'm on the air.
Well, me too.
When I'm listening to it, when you're on the air.
All right.
The point of you tried to make, and I ended up off on a tangent, was I am one of that minority that would vote to keep you on AM simply because there ain't anybody else on AM.
Well, thank you. Hey, listen, we got the news coming up. Those are very nice words, a nice place in which to pause for the news from the American FM radio network.
News from American FM radio. As several countries gear up to aid Pakistan, the Secretary General of the League of Nations, New Goodwill Treaty. This is news from American FM radio.
That's right. This is Michael Gascuna, WABC FM in New York.
Looking relieved, I might add.
With Dan Ingram. Right. Tonight at the Village Gate, by the way, at Blaker and Thompson Streets, J.F. Murphy in Free Flowing Salt and Widsith. The admission is $2. For information, call GR5-5120.
Widsith?
Widsith, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, they found us surfacing.
It sounds like a chair for Mama Cass. That's my mind. It says those things.
And when you're there, go upstairs, because there's usually some very nice jazz groups up at the top of the gate. What order? Just start with one and go all the way down?
Don't you know by now? I did it. You know, you can do it.
They're
waving through the window at each other like...
It's true love.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to both of us.
Why is that?
Because we're friendly and we share a telephone.
Oh, okay. Hi, Dan. My name is Howie Modell, and I'm with WBCR, Brooklyn College.
All right.
You I'm listening to you right now.
You weren't supposed to...
Since our station is too boring.
Hello.
Hello.
You weren't supposed to say your name.
Really? Did they cut me off?
Fire... No, you're on. Fire it.
No, because the lady who I talked to right before you people put me on said that you can give your name if you want to.
Aha.
I take it back, though, okay?
Okay.
I retract my name.
All right. Anyway, Howie, name is...
How you been?
That lady was Susie Cream Cheese, by the way.
Was that Susie Cream Cheese?
Yeah, so that is.
I wonder what that stuff was up all over her clothes.
Do people eat bagels or galleys?
Either way.
Oh, you swing both ways?
We go anyway.
all bisexuals here in show business.
Yes,
you know that,
course.
Didn't you?
Bunch of free lovers and Marys.
Tell me something.
What?
I am a person who is planning eventually, pretty soon, to go into radio.
Mm.
I know it's a bad mistake.
Yes.
And I'll probably regret it for the rest of my life.
Undoubtedly.
Of course. Well, that's why I'm doing it. I'm a masochist. However,
right.
I'd like to know, I mean, here are two people. You're sitting next to each other, and you're both working for ABC.
Right.
And one is doing an underground type of thing, probably making a lot less bread than the other, who is...
He ain't starving, baby.
Okay.
He ain't starving, I got news.
Well, you know, who does like starving anyway?
Yeah.
How do you feel, Dan, after working at WIL and coming to ABC and doing the top 40 thing for so many years? Do you ever feel it's really irrelevant?
To what?
The top 40 type of radio station.
What do you mean irrelevant? Define your terms, sir.
Okay. Do you feel that you're only appealing to people who are far below you in age level?
Oh, Lord, no.
No?
I mean...
Why is that?
I mean, I may be an egotistical kind of a guy, but I could never believe that all the people that listen in are far below me, and certainly not an age level.
Yeah.
When people want what I do, whether it's a form of fun, which I've heard that word and some of the people have called in, or whatever, I'm there doing it, and they come and get it. They could be 90 years old or two, or anywhere in the middle.
Right.
The bulk of our audience is 18 to 35.
Right.
And that ain't too terribly far below my age level.
Do you think that's basically because they don't have FMs, or do you think that they're actually making the choice of AM over FM?
I think they're making the choice of WABC radio for what it provides, which is fun and popular music and an easy format that you can get into without necessarily have to being totally involved in it.
You sound like a politician.
No, I'm not a politician. I'm getting straight stuff.
What Mike said, politics? I didn't hear that.
No, that's a dirty word. No, what I was going to say was, you know, you have to qualify whether you're talking about Ingram in particular or whether you're talking about the AM station as a whole, because I do know a lot of people, and a lot of people called up to substantiate what I said, that listen to Dan Ingram, you know, as a radio personality.
Oh, I find that Dan Ingram is a spectacular radio personality.
Exactly.
And, you know, just, well, one of the many, one of the few greats, you know, in AM radio today.
Right.
Not that too many people on FM are great. You know, I think a lot of people on FM still leave a lot to be desired, and you know, hopefully with a new breed of college kids coming into FM, that can be corrected.
I'll tell you something. May I interrupt for a moment?
Sure, please.
You will find, you're talking about people who leave a lot to be desired. I think you will find that in all media, whether it's literature, movies, radio, TV, or what, about 90% of it is stuff for the moment or for commercial value, and about 10% of it is worthwhile.
Yeah.
And you can find that anywhere, whether it's AM radio, FM radio, or any other medium. And I don't find this particularly startling that you tell me this. It's nice to hear with me being put in that 10%, but it's not too unusual. It's the way of it.
Right, I see. What do you feel about the failure of WNCA?
Well,
their inability to go along with almost any type of rock format and carry it successfully over the years now.
I think there are an awful lot of subcutaneous reasons why that happened, which I cannot go into at great length because I don't know both sides of everything that happened. But I do know that it wasn't so much a failure as an attempt to be a success.
Yeah.
And I think what they're trying to do is rise phoenix-like from their own ashes. And I wish them all the luck in the world, you know.
Right.
I think it's a matter of the competitive thing, and it seems like WABC, AM, and I'm not used to hanging those other two letters on there, WABC is very successful at what it does.
No, I agree. I think probably even, you know, far outside of New York. You know, I know your signal carries from New Brunswick down to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people in many states that listen. So, you know, I'm not denying the validity of WABC as a very successful radio station. You know, mm-hmm. At the very beginning, I was merely talking about your own feeling of, you know, playing the top 40 teeny bop music.
I like it. It's not all teeny bop music, but...
Well, now, I think ABC has expanded its format. You're playing a lot more album cuts.
Yes. And I'll tell you something else, which I told Mike before we went on the air. If Chinese gong music becomes popular, we'll play that, too.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that?
I said if Chinese gong music becomes popular, we'll play that, too. We play popular music, and if it happens to be in an album form, we'll play that.
I hate to hog the telephone. I just wanted to ask one more thing of Michael.
Yeah.
And that is this. I've been working now in college radio for about 2 or 3 years, and I am planning to go into commercial radio in the next couple of months when I finally, you know, graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I did want to know do you find that it's still necessary to go far out of town before you can make it, you know, in FM or any type of modern commercial radio today?
I don't know. I did college radio in Philadelphia, and then I joined Metro Media in Philadelphia in February, and then I came up here in September. So I don't know if you have to or not. I guess it's luck.
Is it still who you know? Has FM built up?
No, because your father could be a program director, and if he's a good program director, he might not hire you because he doesn't like you.
Right.
It's not who you know. It's whether they like you or not.
It's what you have at the right time.
Yes, it's a timing. You know, the right timing is also very important.
Right.
You know.
Because I know I went traveling around upstate New York and New England.
Try the major markets first.
You really think so?
Yeah, it's worth the cost of a reel of tape.
Right.
Sure.
Okay, I'd like to thank you very much.
Okay, did I meet you at the Playboy Club, or was that someone else?
Yeah, you met Heavy Lenny, the guy with the long blonde hair.
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Good day.
I don't really hang out at the Playboy Club.
I was
just happened to be a press party there for
instant plastic.
It sure was.
I'm not a Playboy Club fan all.
Boobs in your face, you know, they have, like, scaffolds to prop them up. Oh, man. Anyway, WABC FM.
Hello?
You're
Hello.
On here.
Yeah, Dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, one thing I gotta ask you.
Okay.
What do you think of Cousin Brucey? I'm telling you, when I listen to him, I get sick. With no doubt. I can just imagine him every night. Cousin Brucey! This is only the 20th time we played the same song this hour.
Uh-huh.
You kids would like to listen to me? Stay tuned. We're going to play all the good teeny bopper music.
All right.
He must be different off the air. He can't He couldn't be not the way he is.
Now, did you call up to ask me what I think of Bruce Morrow or Cousin Brucey?
Cousin Brucey on the air.
Cousin Brucey is a personality on the air that's designed to attract a specific kind of audience. Bruce Morrow as a man is a very nice man.
Yeah, I imagine he is, but...
I haven't told you what I think about Cousin Brucey.
What do you think about
him? Bruce Morrow as a human being is a guy who's a hard-working guy who works very hard at what he does. And I put him up for that. He doesn't knife anybody in the back, and there are a lot of people in this business who do. Cousin Brucey is not the kind of a show I personally would listen to. So that's about as strong an opinion as you get out of him.
Yeah, because I used to always listen to AM, like I'm 15, and like there was really nothing else. And then FM really started going, and I never listened to AM anymore. Because, like, sometimes I listen to you.
That's nice.
But,
right now I'm listening to you.
I think you listen to some other guys on, AM station. Dan?
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay, so thanks a lot, Dan.
Okay, nice talking
to you. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, I guess we'll take four next.
Four?
Yeah, okay. This is WABC FM in New York.
Right,
it is. And the number here is 541-8150 if you...
Who did the station break that I hear? Take 127, this is WABC FM.
Oh, that's
a beautiful break.
Our production director, Vinny Sclera.
Vinny did that?
Yeah.
It's nice.
Good morning, WABC FM.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello. You're on the air, baby.
Hello, Dan?
Yeah, that's me.
Hi, listen, I wanted to say that one of the only reasons I've regretted turning to FM, I guess I really don't regret that anymore, is missing your commercials, the way you totally wreck commercials. Especially I remember the Menin commercial.
The Menin commercial?
Like, Clark Temple's like a man. Remember that one?
Yeah, I do. Well, you know, I don't wreck commercials because the guy who came in and put his bread down for me to do something for him, he deserves a fair shake for his product. But the way it's written or the commercial itself is something else I can take off on. I never put the product down, but I'll put the guy's the words down. Some evil genius in Madison Avenue probably wrote it, and someone that I can't relate to. And they say a lot of ridiculous things in commercials. I like to point them out once in a while.
It helps.
Put the bat and knock them off, right?
No, it helps the product because you remembered Menon, didn't you?
I don't know. Isn't when you got flack from sponsors? What did the...
I don't get flack from sponsors.
You never get flack from the
sponsors? I think most of the time they like that because they find out it works.
Sure it does. It gives you a flavor of honesty and sincerity at the same time you're pushing the product, you know.
So what usually happens is the station manager will come in screaming with a red face and say, how could you do such a thing? And then half an hour later you'll get a call from the sponsor who loved it, you know.
Yeah, and then he doesn't come in screaming with a red face.
Right, and then he doesn't come in at all.
Okay, hope I see you on FM, Dan.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's not that visual a medium. Okay. Hello.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
I want to ask you about Derek and the Dominoes album. You hear it?
Yeah, I hear it, yeah.
Yeah, is it any good, man? Is it as good as Clapton's last album?
Do you have to be told? What's your opinion?
I don't know. I never heard it before.
Ah.
Mets are Mets.
Are you going to play some cuts of it?
Probably.
Yeah, hey, Dan, you remember me?
Do I remember you?
I was on two calls ago.
You were on two calls ago?
Two calls ago.
You didn't get your record yet, right?
No.
Okay.
Well, Cousin Brucey you were talking about, right?
Yeah, I was talking about Cousin Brucey.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you don't remember the days.
I puke all on the floor when I hear him.
Wait.
That in my mind.
All right, man. Enough of that. You know, like he's a guy making a living. Don't put him down. If you don't like it, listen to something else.
Yeah, but there was one good station left on AM. You know, the talk station.
Well, that's your opinion. You know, you're entitled to it.
Yeah, and one more question. Did you ever have a chance to get Alice Bennett on your station?
Me?
Yeah. No, WABC FM.
Did we ever get it? I don't know. They don't check with the jocks when audition tapes
come. Yeah, man, he's great. You're great, too. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
He's really coming on strong.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the Cousin Bruce used to have a record museum every Thursday night at 9 o'clock on 1010.
1010 Wednesday.
Which also went the way of talk in another form. Good morning, WABC FM.
Hello, who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to Michael Cascuna, or...
My name is Dan Ingram.
All right, well, this is from Bridgeport, man. Like, I just want to say you really got a dynamite show.
Thank you.
Right.
What's happening in Bridgeport?
Hmm?
Is Bridgeport still crumbling, or is there anything happening there?
Well, you know, like everybody's digging on you, that's about it.
Oh, well, good, thank you.
Right, we'll see.
Okay.
Bye.
Right. Elton John's going to be in Bridgeport soon, by the way. Sunday or something like that. That's nice, though, isn't it? Do you have listeners as far away as Bridgeport on AM?
I get mail from New Zealand regularly. On a level, man. They send me teeth and things. You know?
I can believe it. What do I take, two? Susan, do I take two? Okay. Good morning.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Oh, I'd like to talk about a group called Grand Funk Railroad.
All right.
I've seen them twice perform a concert, and I really thought they were tremendous. I couldn't get over how great they were. And I heard on MCI, I heard Alex Bennett say that he thought they were computerized bubblegum music. And then just the other day, they sold out in 4 hours the entire Madison Square Garden. Like, they're my favorite group. I really think they're tremendous. I'd like to know what you think, Michael.
I think they're computerized bubblegum music. I'll tell you something about Grand Funk Railroad. Communications, you don't realize the implications of what you do. I really do. I don't like the group at all. But when we got a Grand Funk Railroad album in, we were all sitting around just looking for something to do, avoiding going home and all that. And so as it came in, someone handed it to me, and I took the record out, and I can't tell that story. Of course I can tell that story. And I put it on a bulletin board. I pinned it to the bulletin board. And
where did you put the pin?
Through the center. I didn't harm the record.
You didn't harm any particular portion of the anatomy of the people.
And do you realize that
cover.
People in California knew about it the next day?
Yeah.
Really?
That's fascinating, the magic of electronic wizardry.
I'd like to ask you about another group, too. I just saw last Wednesday night, I saw Black Sabbath at the Fillmore. I'd like to know what you think about them.
The album's kind of nice. I've never seen them live. See, I've never seen Grand Funk Railroad live, either. I know some people who hate the record and tell me that they're worth seeing live.
They're very they're very different concert.
You like their records?
Huh?
You like their records?
I have all of them.
You like them, I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like Grand Funk Railroad, but then you'd expect me to, because I'm from that other medium.
Right, good.
Besides which, they're 9 minutes long, and it relieves certain tensions at certain times.
Oh, yeah, and have you ever been to the Fillmore East? What do you think about that?
Who, me?
Either one of you. I don't...
Fillmore East is a nice place if you know who to know and where to go and what place to sit and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's rather confusing for most people.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. One.
Come
on, WABC-FM.
Yes. I'd just like to say that Grand Funk Railroad is computerized bubblegum music.
Okay. That was one of the members. That was Mr. Funk.
How was that? Okay, now that was the Capitol Records distributor here.
Are they Capitol? I don't know the record album labels anymore. I never see them. They come in
cartridges.
Oh, they're
all cards, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we take this? No, we don't even know about that.
We don't know about what? What is all this synergistic action between you and the control room going on? There's more than just the direction going on here. I detect between you and Susie Cream Cheese a certain rapport, a rapprochement, a togetherness.
It's some inside things. Working with someone day in and day out, you know, you get to really scope on each other's table and
yes, that's nice.
Yeah. 87. No, not, oh my God, that's what I always feared doing. You
giving
know,
the wrong number.
Giving my home number, which is structured very much like this number here, 541.
541.
8150 is the number here. 8150. I always had that fear. I guess when you plant that in your head, it happens to you.
It grows out of your ears eventually.
See, if I like turn the rest of the show over to you, which we don't have time to do, but if I did, what would your programming be?
Well, it would be for about another 4 minutes, and then I'd get up and go to a recording session where I'm recording some commercials.
Now, what kind of program?
I'd go into the record library and I'd get out Aretha Franklin's record of That's Life, and I'd put that on for openers, and say, "Ha ha, Frank Sinatra, you know you should have done it this way." And after that, I'd scrum.